You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education Books podcast. I'm Matthew Rice. I'm a writer on the magazine. And today I'm here with Shlomo Sand, who's an Israeli historian based at the University of Tel Aviv. And in recent years, he's written a series of books about what I suppose you could call, he regards as the myths of the state of Israel, about the Jewish people, the land of Israel, and how that plays into Israeli identity and politics. He's written another book, which is, in a sense, much more personal, called How I Stopped Being a Jew. And it's he wants to resign from the what he calls the exclusive club of being a Jew. And so I'm here to talk to him about what that means. And so let me just get, you're very clear that you are an Israeli, you're very critical of the Israeli government, some of the things your government does, but you are totally an Israeli by upbringing, language, culture.
Exactly. Good definition, yeah.
Yeah, and does that feel like a secure identity?
I don't know. It's the point of departure of my identity. One of the points of departure, the fact that I'm speaking Hebrew. Jews in the world are not speaking my language. Jews of the world don't know my Hebrew songs and all this. Then I don't resign from my first identity, Israeli identity at all.
Right.
I mean, I'm not proud about this identity in these days, you know, after the last war in Gaza. But I'm Israel, it's a fact. I'm not resigning from this identity that called Israel identity.
Right.
And I put questions about my Jewish identity.
Right. So Israel is home, and when you're not there, you miss it like everybody misses their home and misses the language and the food and the smells and so on. So that's in one sense, absolutely secure, although you're very much, very critical of.
Yeah, I'm very normal about this. Longing to a place that I grew up, I spoke the language of this. I'm very normal. Yeah.
Okay. But you're not religious. You're not Jewish in religious terms at all.
I'm second generation not religious.
Second generation not religious. So you're very not religious.
Yeah, I don't know very because my father was much more against religion than me.
Okay.
Because he fought against Jewish religion in East Europe when he grew up.
Right.
You go up in little cheder schools of Jewish. Then he was much more anti-religious than me.
Okay.
Much more combative atheist than me.
Okay. So what the book is about is that you don't think it makes any sense for you to think of yourself as a Jew, really.
Yeah.
And that has lots of political implications. But why don't we talk about first about why you make that argument? Why you know, a lot of people would call you a Jew, including you're listed as a Jew by nationality for government state purposes, official purposes, and so on. So why is it that you don't, the factual question, why do you not think it makes sense for you to call yourself a Jew now?
I have to correct maybe the title. I never was a Jew.
Never.
But I define myself as a Jew because, you know, secular Jew, to be a secular Jew is identity. It's not a cultural fact for me.
Right.
You know? I consider myself as a Jew, a secular Jew, even if it's contradiction today in my eyes, because, you know, the past, the anti-Semitism, the fact that I am from Jewish origin.
Right.
And I'm a part of the 20th century, the first part of the 20th century, Jewish suffered a lot in Europe.
Yes, of course.
This is the reason that I insist that I'm a Jew. And I remember defining myself as a Jew till the last anti-Semite will live on our planet.
Okay.
But two things. I think that has a relationship with London and with England, if you want to.
Okay.
First thing, I read in one moment the essay of Bertrand Russell, Why I Am Not a Christian.
Okay.
Do you know it?
Yes, I do, yes.
The idea of this little book came from the essay of Bertrand Russell, Why I'm Not a Christian. He wrote it, I think, in the 20s of the last century. And I remember reading it very young, and I was very impressed by his courage at that time.
Okay.
I remember starting, the first title of the book was Why I'm Not a Jew.
Okay.
If you want. Now, the second thing is a little episode that happened to me in London in a bookstore. I give a conference about one of my last books. And it was very, very nice, all the happening. Brian Clark, the thing from Oxford, was the moderator. Everything was nice. And it was a kind of discussion there about what is to be Jew or not to be Jew. And everybody, you say something from the audience, and the moderator also define themselves as a Jew. And suddenly I see in the corner a group of people that didn't say nothing, and I understood that they are not exactly Jews. Most of the audience were from Jewish origin.
Yeah.
And suddenly, it's the first time in my life, then I started to think, what is the way to become a secular Jew? Can I find a way to become a secular Jew? You see, because they didn't feel the right to interview, to take a word in the discussion.
Yeah.
And suddenly I felt very bad, and I asked myself, how come you can become a Christian, you can become a Jewish believer, you can become a socialist, a member of the Labour Party, you can become a good conservative. What is the way to become a secular Jew, I asked myself.
Right.
It's the first time that it jumped to my mind. How come that nobody can become a secular Jew? And I'm a secular Jew.
Yes.
And I remember at this moment to decide, I don't want to belong to a club that is exclusive. You cannot join it. You cannot resign, by the way, because not Zionist, not anti-Semitic, give me the right not to be a Jew or to be a Jew. You cannot become a secular Jew. You can become a religious.
Yes.
But you cannot become. How come? And I never was a believer. And I define myself as a secular Jew, but nobody can become a secular Jew if you are not born to a Jewish mother.
Right.
And I think it's very strange that I accept the identity that nobody can adopt it. In this moment started this book. If you want politically, this is something that has relationship directly with political identities of personal political identities.
Right.
I don't want to belong to exclusive club that nobody can join it.
Okay.
Only a Jewish believer can become a secular believer.
Yes.
I think Jewish in the past suffered a lot
from
exclusive clubs.
Yes.
And because I'm a descendant of Jews that ran away from Nazism, that ran away from anti-Semitism, I don't want to belong to a club like this.
Right.
Secondly, and this is not less important, I'm an Israeli citizen. And as you know, Israel defines itself as a Jewish state.
Right.
And I fight a long time against the definition of Israel as a Jewish state because I want that it will be an Israeli state, an Israeli republic, an Israeli democracy. I mean, there is a quarter of the population that is not, that the state don't consider them as Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, 20% of Arabs and 5% of immigrants that came from the East and from other places that are not defining as a, that the state don't define them as Jews. Then, the state belongs to 3/4 of the citizens, not of all the citizens. Then it means that me, as a Jew, I'm a privileged citizen.
Yes.
Because my student, Palestinian-Israeli student, the state doesn't belong to them because it's a Jewish state. Imagine tomorrow Great Britain decides to define itself as an English Christian state. I wish that we will not arrive to this historical moment. But you can imagine how English Jew will feel in this state, how the Scot will feel if Britain will define itself as English. It will quite be different, the result of the election, of the, you know, of the choice of the Scot. You can imagine Great Britain define himself as an English state, how long Britain will stay as a union kingdom. Then Israel defines herself as a Jewish state. It's very important to understand. Not the Israeli state. We don't have even the hypocrisy to say, this state belongs to all the Israeli citizens. We don't have this hypocrisy, deep hypocrisy of all the democracy in the Western world.
Yes.
Then I ask myself, if the state defines itself as Jew, if I'm a Jew, I'm a privileged citizen. Yes. It's like Poland before the Second World War was a Christian state.
Right. Right.
Catholic, by the way.
Right, right.
But I don't want to be a privileged citizen. It's my duty to declare that I'm not a Jew.
Okay.
It's my duty, moral duty. I cannot understand other people in Israel that define themselves as Jew.
Right.
Morally. How come?
But one of the things that by defining itself as the Jewish state, that means that the state somehow belongs more to Jews who've never even set foot in Israel, to a lot of the citizens of Israel who may have been there, Arab citizens of Israel who may have been there for hundreds of years. That's right, isn't it? So
thousands indeed.
So there's something very strange about, as it were, the ownership of the state.
Yeah, you see, today more than yesterday, Israel insists that it's the state of the Jewish people.
Right.
I mean, it's the state of Woody Allen, with all the respect. Yeah. And not of my friends, Palestinian-Israeli citizens.
Yes.
You can imagine, with all the respect to Woody Allen.
Yes.
The state belonged to him.
Yes.
But he didn't ask. You understand? And not only this. His present maybe has something of Jewishness, but his future is not Jews. You understand? For
yes.
a secular Jew, there is not a future of Jewishness. We have to understand it.
So it's not a body of knowledge or culture that you can
exactly.
hand off to your children.
You understand.
Yeah.
By the way, this is the question that I asked Brian Clark in this evening in London. I said, what is with your children? Which kind of Jewish culture, if you are secular, you can transmit them?
Yes.
He cannot. He had not.
Yeah.
Then memory is important for identity.
Right.
I agree. It was important all my life. Memory, collective memory for
yes.
identity is very important. But today, because of the reason that I mentioned before, no, I don't find any reason. I think that basically, political public anti-Semitism disappeared in Western world. Not the marginal anti-Semitic of Muslim groups, radical Muslim groups, or the anti-Semitism East Europe. I'm speaking publicly. If somebody knows what was the anti-Semitism in the Christian world, and in even the modern Christian world, can understand that today there is not the same thing. This is not the danger for the moment. But the danger for my existence in Tel Aviv, in Israel, is the fact that Israel defines itself as a Jewish state.
Right.
I don't want to be a Jew. Right. I'm not a Jew. By the way, I am not a Jew. I have something Jewishness in my memory, collective memory.
Okay.
My parents, grandparents, great-grandparents were Jews. It's important for me, but it is point of departure, not the point of arrival from point of view of identity, of spiritual thinking, about intellectual feeling, all this. You understand? I don't find why I can continue to be a Jew in this condition that I described about the Israeli state.
Right. Just let me just ask you one thing. I mean, if you talk about the Arab minority within Israel, the Arabs who are citizens of Israel. Now, obviously, minorities, citizens in every country, there are always barriers, there's always racism and so on. So a lot of groups in a lot of countries feel like second-class citizens. And certainly, black Americans or black British would make arguments that there are a lot of barriers to achievement and so on. Do you feel that there's something fundamentally different with the status of the Arab citizens of Israel?
Yeah, basically. And this is the reason that I don't understand how in the Western world honest journalists are not, or writers or politicians, don't describe it. You see, in principle, if Israel was a normal Western democracy, liberal democracy, it has to say we are all Israeli citizens. The state belongs to the Israeli citizens. We have a kind of affinity with Jewishness, with history of the Jews. But basically, the state is looking for the good of all the Israeli citizens. In this moment, the Palestinian-Israeli could say, yes, it's very nice, but, you know, the hegemonic culture is from Jewish origin. Then let me have a little autonomy. Let me have a little, you know, space of identity that is parallel to the Israeli hegemonic identity. But no, Israel don't say we are not all Israelians like Britain say we are all Britain. Scot, Welsh, everybody is Britain, first of all.
Right.
No, no. Israel say we are a state of the Jews.
Right.
Now, this contradiction will bring, I believe, and I'm quite sure, even if I'm not a prophet, that it cannot continue long term. It has to be the opposite. Israel has to say, we are an Israeli state, we belong to all the Israelis, and the Arabs say, one moment, like the Scot, like the Welsh, we want a kind of expression of our other identity. But in Israel, it's the opposite way. The center, the dominate group, say that the state didn't belong to, don't belong to everybody.
Yeah.
I ask you, I know that minority, without reference to the Scot or the Welsh, suffer in most of the, you know, like a course a little bit, you know, like the Welsh a little bit, like the Scot a bit, like the Catalanes. But, you know, the center say, we are not a state of the Castilian. We are the state of all the Spanish people. Israel is the opposite.
Right.
We are not the state of Israelis. We are the state of the Jews on the world.
Right.
I ask you, British, French, American, how come, especially people that define themselves as Jew, that want that Britain will stay the state, the kingdom or the state of all the British, not the Christian British, not the English British only, how come that they accept Israel as a Jewish state?
Okay.
How come, democratically?
Yes, okay, so that's... Okay, and I mean, you put it.
Hope that I explained it.
Yes, no, you explained it very well. And I mean, one point you put it that you know your identity is Israeli, but you want the identity to be an Israeli identity, be politico-cultural identity rather than an ethnic identity. And I think that's very clear. And why don't you tell
with ethnic identity become a political program of a state? It's finished very badly. It happened in the 20th century. You understand me?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
To make it clear, in Hungary today, they define the Hungarian identity as an ethnic one. It will finish badly. First of all, for Jews and for Gypsies and everything.
Minorities,
you understand?
Yes.
Then I repeat, this long tradition of ethnic nationalism that brought the ethnic identity politically of a state finished in history very badly.
Right. And what do you, I mean, obviously you campaigned for the policies of your government that you want to, you're active politically, but in what do you think will happen in you resigning from being a Jew? Do you think this will have a political impact? What this book represents?
In Israel, all my books about Zionism, Israel, or Judaism were published firstly in Israel. You have to understand, in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, yeah.
The reaction to this book in Israel wasn't so bad to compare to my first book about the invention of the Jewish people, because the subtitle of this book in Hebrew, in French, in Polish, in Russian was A Israeli Point of View.
Right.
I don't know, it disappeared in the English.
Okay, well, we'll have to ask your publisher about that. But
No, I don't know. I didn't notice, by the way, because, you know, I was sure that because they are working very well. And you have to understand, it was an Israeli point of view.
Right.
And it changed a lot for a lot of Israelis. Then the book didn't, they didn't receive badly the book. And it was in Paris much worse when I published it in French than in Israel. Much worse.
Okay.
Now, a lot of Israelis, or a lot of my students, don't care if they are Jew or not Jew. Really, they don't care about it. And as I say, Jewishness is a point of departure. Okay, but not the point of arrival.
Okay.
This is very important to understand. And as I say in one of the titles of the chapters, identity is not a hat.
It's not a hat.
You can have a lot of identities as a man, as a professor, as a Londonian. You know, but with I didn't care till now about the definition of Jew, but as I know that it's a privileged definition in Israel, I cannot stand it. You understand? Now, the reception wasn't so bad in Israel. It's strange, but it's not so bad. It was worse in France, with a lot of people that consider themselves as Jew. By the way, my discussion is not with the Jewish religion.
No.
You know, it's not that I adopted. No, Bertrand Russell wrote a wonderful essay about religion.
Right.
No, the problem is about the definition of a secular Jew. What is the meaning? And especially, as a historian, I am thinking also politically. Today, somebody that is a secular Jew needs criterions to define himself.
Right.
Now, he's looking well how to define. He has not a culture. He has not a language. Then he started to be a little bit religious, you know, folklorally. You know, he's going to the synagogue a little bit. He's doing a few holidays, a Jewish holiday. It's okay, no problem.
Right.
But the problem is that he's dependent all the time with the religion concept.
Right.
Or the racist one. And I have to tell you a little story yesterday. I took the plane from Tel Aviv to London.
Yeah.
And I met a girl, a woman, 34 years. She came from Tashkent,
right.
Emigrant, 20 years in Israel. And she said that she is going to London to meet her future husband,
yeah,
an English one. I think wonderful, I say. He said, but he is Jew.
Yeah.
I answer, I don't care. He's an English one. It's okay for Jewish, Christian. No, he's not Christian. Okay, I say. She didn't know who I am.
Yes.
And I say, and what do you mean that he is Jew? And she answered me, by blood.
Right.
You know, a lot of secular Jews are believing that in the DNA there is something Jew.
Right.
Do you know it?
Yes.
That there is Department of Biology in Tel Aviv, in New York, that they are looking for a DNA.
In your own university?
Own university.
Yes.
In every half a year, every 6 months, it's published an article about, we found that the DNA, the Jewish DNA, all this exists because the weakness of the definition of a secular Jew, in the non-future of a secular Jew.
Right.
And then they are looking all to biology, or to religion. They are not free, you know, with a secular free conception about identity.
Okay. And let's talk about your political views. I mean, you're very critical of the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza.
We didn't start.
Yeah. And you also clearly are concerned about the status of the Arab and other minorities within Israel. These are causes which you've been very active in. And within the university, I mean, presumably there are a lot of people who take a similar political lines as you on these kind of issues.
We have to distinguish between two things. Politically, yes, I have colleagues that are not far. We are all against the occupation, and in the humanities department, a lot of people are against the occupation.
Right.
I didn't disturb them by saying that Israel has to liberate itself from the occupied territories, because there is apartheid there. It's not only what I described before about the Israeli citizenship. There is a pure apartheid, to make it clear.
Right.
For 47 years.
Right.
A pure apartheid.
Yeah.
I'm against the occupation.
Okay. And a lot of your colleagues are too.
Yes. This is not the thing that distinguishes me from them.
Okay, that's what I want to get at. Where do you feel?
It's ideologically. The fact that I say that the Jewish people, the Jewish nation is an invention.
Right.
And the history of the Jewish nation is a bluff.
Right.
And this hurt a lot of people. To give you an example, in the first book from the trilogy about the Jewishness, then when I tried to explain that the exile of the Jew, when the Roman Didn't happen.
Right.
It was a shock. But it was very strange because nobody said that it was a real exile. There is not even one book,
right,
one research book, what we call scientific book, that tried to describe what is was the exile of the Romans. Okay. Not at all. There is even one. But when I say the Jews were not exiled, Jewishness was a proselytic religion.
Right.
Everybody, it's enough to look at the Jews and say that their origins are so different, so rich, so colorful.
Right.
This makes them to be against me,
okay,
most of them.
Okay. So, but those books are making historical claims, and other historians are obviously going to agree or disagree and look at the evidence and so on, and that's in the nature of history. But did you get a lot of much more emotional responses to your work as well? I mean, in a sense, the historical arguments about the details of what happened when, that's historians have to, that's their job, and they have to do that.
By the way, I have to insist that they didn't say that what I wrote was wrong at all. They say we know everything, but it's everything is not exactly. They didn't put the finger about nothing that I wrote that saying that it is wrong. It was the way that I organized the material. You understand?
Right.
It disturbed them. But they didn't find, you know, things that I declare it wasn't wrong. The ensemble was a problem for them.
Right.
You have to understand that, you know, they hate. And some of them hate. You have to understand, in the Tel Aviv University, there is not a department of history.
Right.
It's two departments. Of general history that I belong,
right,
in Jewish history.
Okay.
Two departments separately.
Right.
Student can take one department, finish it in, without touching the other subject.
Right, right.
You can imagine history of the Jews without the word. You can understand how come. You cannot the English history to teach without comparative studies.
Yes.
You can imagine the Jewish that lived all the time within other population.
Right.
Anyway. The reaction was very, very badly in the ideological level, you understand? Not politically. Politically, I'm moderate.
Right.
Relatively, everything is relatively. Right. I'm against occupation. I am for two states, by the way.
Right.
I don't think that the right of return of the Palestinians is possible. To give you an example.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm for two states that in the future will become a confederation, but I am for the Zionization of the Israeli state. As I explained before,
right,
it has to be an Israeli state.
Right.
But people mixed radical positions about history, about identity, with radical political... No, in politics, I know that you have to make compromise.
Yeah.
But not in history. Yeah, not
okay,
in writing history. You understand?
Yes.
Yes, I know. It's the kingdom of compromise politics.
Yes.
And sometimes Palestinians didn't understand me about it. You know, I think that Israel is a result of a colonization.
Right.
We are 130 years in a process of colonization. We have to understand. With different chapters in this colonization. But it is a colonization. We come, we take the land of others, and we declare that it is our land. This is the history of Israel, of Zionism. You agree with it. It's a fact. You can justify it or not justify it, but it's a process of colonization, settler colonization in Palestine.
Right.
But I accept a part of the result of this colonization. You understand? I don't think that in history you can go back. I take the existence of Israel's state as a fact, you know, that you cannot deny it without
right.
making it new tragedies. You
right.
understand?
Right, right.
Then, even if I think that it was a result of colonization, I justify the existence of Israel as, you know, state of citizens, like I justify the United States.
Yes, or Australia, yes.
Australia, you understand?
Yes.
People sometimes don't understand the difference that I make by the analyzing. Because Israeli and Zionists need all the time to justify what happened in the last 100 years. You understand?
Right.
I don't want to justify the existence of Israel by fallacying the history of Zionism. You understand?
Right.
I don't accept it. right. as a teacher, as a professor of history.
Right. But you hope that by looking at the history in a different way, that that will also have an impact on the politics of...
I don't think that books can change the world. No. By the way, Hobsbawm.
Yeah, Eric Hobsbawm, who's...
Yeah, he's still in a British
history. Who you cite quite a lot, you refer to in the book.
Yeah, then when the book appeared, he said that books don't change the world, but if there is a book, this will be the book.
Okay.
You know...
That's a very nice very thing nice. To have someone to say about you, yes. Yeah.
No, it's the best thing that I can get from somebody. I don't think so. I don't think that... I think differently that books are not changing the world, but... This is important to understand. When the world starts to change, always is looking for new and other books. And yeah. I want that my student will have, when they start to change something, they will find my book. And they are finding, by the way, the book was a bestseller in Israel, you have to understand.
Right.
Much more than in French and England, much more.
Right. And have you been sort of demonized in Israel? Do people treat you as a traitor or...
Yeah, a traitor, you know, telephones... letters, email letters, treating, even they send me powder, you know, and the police were looking for people that treated me all the time, yeah.
Right. And what about among your colleagues at the university? I mean, do you still have a lot of friends, or do you feel you've been marginalized?
I lost a few friends.
You lost a few friends?
Yeah, sure. But you have to understand also, I don't know how you know the academic and the academic world, but it's not only ideological differently. The fact that my book was translated to 21 languages can make people to be jealous, as you know.
Of course.
You understand, and also this, the fact that 21 languages, there are not a lot of Israeli historians that were translated to 21 languages.
Yes.
Then they don't feel comfortable. You know, it's not easy for them. I can understand, because if I was on the other side, in other historian who published in 21 languages, it's a good reason not to like him.
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
It's very natural between, because we are fighting so hardly to get a little more symbolic capital, you understand?
Yes, of course.
I can understand. I lost a few friends.
Right.
But I got... others in England and French and United States.
If you go to work at the university now, does it feel uncomfortable? Do you feel that...
No. Yes, there are professors that don't say me hello and
callers. But there are lots that do still say hello.
A lot of others, yes. And not only this, a lot of students.
A lot of students, yes.
Yeah, I'm very popular. And
right.
Between students, you know, they even... elect me between the 50 most beloved personality in Tel Aviv. I didn't believe in the beginning. You have to understand that Israel is a state, a society, a culture of plan of contradictions.
Yes.
It's not, basically, it's not a real democracy. But it's, till now, deeply very liberal.
Yes.
I mean pluralistic.
Yes.
You understand? It's not a democracy because its state don't belong to its citizens. And this is the first definition of a democracy.
Right.
But it's pluralistic.
And
it's very strange.
Very lively public debate. And very wide range of views get expressed.
Yeah. But then there is some time. The police, was looking for the people that send me menace letters and also, as I say, other things. Yeah, the police in Israel kept me alive, you see, in some way.
You think your life...
I was menaced a little bit, but not too much, not too much.
No.
You know, usually we say Jewish are not killing other Jews.
Right.
It's not true about Rabin, but in principle.
Yes.
And now, when I stop to be a Jew, it's maybe different.
Okay, well,
they are so racist,
yeah,
the Zionists, that they continue to consider me consider me as a Jew, you understand?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe this saved me a lot.
Okay. And maybe we should just talk about where you feel we might go from here. I mean, you seem quite pessimistic about the current political situation in Israel and perhaps this government, perhaps particularly, I don't know. But do you feel that this kind of book, which is this book, is much more a much more personal book about your own identity, yourself of yourself? Do you think that we need more books like this and more people coming out to question some of these sort of essential?
I'm very pessimistic because, you know, the current in the world today, we are living at the beginning of the 21st century in a very strange situation of loss of hope.
Right.
Loss of utopia.
Right.
I mean, we're criticizing all our life the utopia, the radical utopia, and we lost any kind of view to the future.
Right.
It's a situation that can bring a lot of perversity, I mean, political relationship all over the world. In the Western, also in the Middle East.
Okay.
In Israel also. I think the situation is very bad. In fact, the people become, more racist. We saw it in the last war. The deshumanization of the Palestinian was terrible.
Dehumanization
of the Palestinian in this last war.
Right.
You know, across all the borders.
Right.
And I worried a lot. More and more I think that nothing can be changed from inside.
Okay.
I mean, there is a lot of people that don't want to occupy territories.
Yeah.
Even the majority is not so adept. But no political personality in Israel can sign to give back this Hebron, Bethlehem, and all this.
Right.
Even Rabin couldn't do it.
Right.
And I don't believe that Israeli can choose somebody that will decide renounce or occupy territories. I don't believe.
Right.
And I think only pressure from outside can save Israel from itself.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
And today is important because the British Parliament is voting to recognize the Palestinian state. You know it?
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
I hope that the Parliament will vote for the recognition of a Palestinian state. You understand?
Yes, I understand, absolutely.
It's not against the Israeli state, but, you know, the Israelis are... Even the Labour Party in Israel sent letters to the Labour member, MP members here to not to vote for the Palestinian state.
Right.
I hope.
All these political issues are very much tied in with these questions of identity and the way that Israel, both Israel as a state, but also Jewish-Israeli citizens define themselves. These are all very much inextricably tied up.
Yeah, it's everywhere. As I say, we cannot construct political project clearly today. It's a problem all over the world because politicians so behave in a hedonistic, materialistic way.
Yes, but all that's a more general question.
Yeah, political representation in the beginning of the 21st century is a problematic. In Israel, it's more difficult everything, you understand? Because the basic of the political behavior of Israel is composed of two myths. That the Jewish people is eternal chosen people.
Right.
That were expelled from the territory 2,000 years ago. Right. The second is the territory myth.
Right.
That it's belonged to us.
Right.
Even the left that say we don't need Hebron, he said by saying Hebron is ours, but we are so nice, so humanistic that we can go and give it to the Palestinians as a present.
Right.
But basically, every Israeli citizen from Jewish origin are studying all his life the Bible as a historical book. Do you know it?
Yeah, interesting.
It's the first historical book that we studied from 7 years old. You can imagine it, that after studying this book, you know, as a historical book, not as a theological book. Somebody came out and say, Hebron is not ours. El Quds is not ours.
Yeah.
You understand the deep contradiction that composed the Israeli imagination?
Yeah.
Then, I think that the taxi driver in Israel will renounce of Hebron easily than the leader of the Labour Party.
Okay.
You understand what they say?
Yes.
If it was a boycott of all the TV plasma of more than 21 inch, you understand?
Yeah.
A boyhood of all the TV, plasma,
yes,
more than 21 inch. You
right.
understand?
Yes.
This can influence the Israeli population. Okay. I'm cynical a little bit, but I'm not laughing.
So you think those sort of pressures from outside
are
very necessary?
Very necessary to save Israel, to save the existence of the Israeli state. I'm not playing with words. You see, I don't believe differently that it can continue to be like this in the Middle East.
Right.
And by the way, I am from two states, but in some moment confederated, because we cannot stop to live with the Arabs in the Middle East. Right. If somebody wants to live without Muslims, he has to go to London and not to stay in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
Well, there are plenty of Muslims in
London. I know. This is the reason that I told you the joke.
Yeah, of course. And so these two central myths of
Zion, land in identity.
And those are the themes of your two earlier books.
Yeah.
And this new book is a sort of
a more personal conclusion. Yeah, I cannot fight against the Jewish... I am fighting all the time Jewish state without, and continue to say that I am Jew, especially that as a historian, cultural historian, I cannot, you know, define what is a secular Jew. Only the memory. But you have to understand, if identity is based only about memory, it can become a very dangerous identity, because memory is always constructed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a spontaneous. A collective memory is always a construct.
Yes. And I remember you say in the book about the commemorations of the Holocaust, the Shoah, which obviously it should be remembered. It is important, there are all sorts of opportunistic and illegitimate uses made of
more
memory. That's what you're arguing, isn't it?
I hope that everybody will understand that I'm not as anti-Semitic, and this is not an anti-Semitic word. No. But also I'm not a negationist of the Shoah.
No, of course.
No. I want to insist, because yeah. People are using it all the time.
Yeah.
But lately, maybe I will tell you an anecdote that happened to me 2 months ago.
Okay.
I was sitting in a dinner in France with a Muslim... woman, very nice one, French Muslim woman,
right,
from Maghreb origin.
Yeah,
and then we started to spoke about Shoah, about the Holocaust of the Jews.
Yeah,
and by the way, I said that the Nazis killed more or less 11 millions of non-conventional victims. I mean, not in the war, not in the battle.
Civilians, yes.
And she said, what? I said, yes, 11 million. No, it's 6 million, she told me. And I say, more or less 5 or 6 million from Jewish origin. It's true, but together is 11. I never heard about it. We spoke all the time. We studied in the schools that it's 6 million Jews. And I say, yes. But it was 11 million that the Nazis killed. Polish, 2.5 million, ill people mentally.
Yes, homosexuals, Jehovah's
Homosexuals. Insane. It's important, I say, that the Jews were the privileged enemies of the Aryan people race. But they were not the only ones that were killed. And she say, but why didn't heard about the others? I mean, that there are 5.5 other millions. And suddenly she said the sentence, but it's also a negation of Shoah.
Yeah. Denial, you would say, yes.
It's also a denial. I never think in this concept. It's a kind of denial. The fact that it should choose only the Jewish victim.
Yes.
I accept that you stress that the Jews were the privileged, the chosen victim.
Yeah.
But if you deny, you educate only about 6 million and not the 11 million, you have other kind of denial.
Okay.
And I say to people like Claude Lanzmann or Elie Wiesel and others, you understand what I say?
Yeah.
It's a denial. And I am afraid about it. You know, today everybody knows the number of 6 million.
Yeah.
You have to know that 40 years ago, I mean, in the 50s of the 20th century, everybody knows the 11 million.
Okay.
As I told everyone, the film, the great film of Alain René,
yeah.
There is not 6 million, there is 11 million.
Yes.
Now we change. 11 million disappeared, the 6 million. I'm afraid from politics of memory that it always like this. Memory served political purpose. Not directly, not as conspiration.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, with memory we can make a lot of things, you understand? For me, the memory of Jewishness, the memory of Shoah, the memory of the suffering from anti-Semitism or anti-Judaism during the centuries has to serve people to define themselves not as a cosmopolitics, if you want, but to want to be cosmopolitics.
Yes.
I'm not a cosmopolitics. I'm an Israeli that want to become a cosmopolitics.
Yes,
you
yes,
understand
okay,
me?
Okay.
Because history for me is a sin. Sin? The hangman and the victims are changing place all the time.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, well, I think that's a very interesting thought to end on. So thank you very much, Shlomo Sand, who's been here in the Towns Higher Education Office to talk about his book, How I Stopped Being a Jew, in this one of our series of books podcasts. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for giving me the time.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.